Negroni Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roney@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. All right, we're going to jump back into our great interview and discussion with the host of the Thin Ice podcast. Here's part two.
You know, sometimes we joke about things that some people probably wouldn't socially, but we do.
Right.
And we really do breed awkwardness.
Yes, but that's not our being on thin ice, being edgy is not our mission.
No, it's not.
Sometimes it turns out that way, but we're not out there to offend or
it's
to see
norm,
how close
really.
We can take the edge.
Well, I've got a cure for not having a problem is only have five people listen to your show like me. It's great. I can say whatever I want. Oh, man, I can incite a riot. Nobody cares.
If you have no goal, listening. You're sure to attain it.
See?
Yes.
It's beautiful. I love it. So I have this picture in my mind that you guys were talking about. Men with swords running down a beach.
That's all about
it. Unfortunately, that didn't come to fruition. Maybe next year.
You were so excited that this guy happened upon a cache of swords. And then you were telling this story about you're going to go to this special beach that not everybody could get to, and you're going to run down the beach with swords. How did that come up on your radar? You know, was it on the top 10 list of things to do?
And it's just, I don't know. It's just randomness. You know,
okay. We're,
me and my three friends from high school, every year, we make a pilgrimage to the South Georgia coast.
Yes.
We go to this secluded island that you can only get to by boat. It's our thing. It's what we do.
All right.
We look forward. It's a summer camp for adults.
Now, your mom told you not to run with scissors. I would imagine.
She didn't say swords.
Okay, but I'm being the dad a little bit here. You got to be careful, guys. I mean,
it's liberty through omission.
Okay, all right.
Well, I when he does that, I'm just waiting. You know, sometime Saturday night around 2:30 in the morning, getting a phone call, and it's a request for a bail bond.
Okay.
You know, for smuggling swords onto the national seashore or something, for him sticking a peg or something with it.
Well, when it came down to pack the old 4Runner, we had to choose between fishing poles and swords.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Chose fishing.
One of the coolest things about the South is the wonderful wonderful generosity and kindness of the people. Two of the beautiful ladies. My eyes still work, even though I'm married. And the third thing is that you can buy fireworks anytime.
Fireworks are cool. Firearms are better.
Well, okay.
You can buy those anytime too.
Now Kathy Griffin's just shut off the show. She has just been offended. Talk about firearms. Come on. No, but okay. I mean, what's it like to just kind of be driving along and say, you know what? I'm going to go get an M80 and just kind of pull over and go to the establishment. You know, like two M80s, please. Okay, there you go. Oh, and here's a free, TV guide here and whatever. And then, you go off and what's it like?
Well,
recently
all the fireworks have been reduced in magnitude. Maybe that's not the way to say it, but all the fireworks you can get down here now are really not lethal per se.
Okay.
So they're not any fun.
All right.
Bottle
rockets.
It has nothing to do with the government not wanting you to have nasty things in your hands. It's probably something to do with all the production for it, because if you buy more and stack them together, you have the same effect.
Okay. Now, you guys are, and I'm going to get philosophical, but I'm going to come back in, is what I love about Christians in general in 2009 is we now are reflecting more mainstream enjoyment, okay? We could talk about Harry Potter in a mixed conversation, and no one faints much. We can talk about Lost and rock music. Tell me about this love of Lost. I mean, some Christians would say, oh, it's not a Christian show. I'm not watching that. So,
My thing with Lost is I enjoy long, complex answers.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a tax accountant. I deal in long, complex answers.
Mm-hmm.
And Lost always gives me an opportunity to try to get the theory of everything. Try to tie up all the loose ends. I've never done it yet. I had some great theories in the past. And, of course, those all get thrown out the window with each season finale.
Right.
But I don't know. That's my appeal to it. I like trying to crack the riddle.
Hmm.
Yeah, and as far as I said I disagree. I wouldn't say it's a Christian show, but there are so many things in there. I really don't know if J.J. Abrams is a Christian, but at the same time, for all the stuff that he does do different religions in his shows, but he gives them all, it seems to be, equal footing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rose, Brad and I are, we're talking about this. There's something I want to mention on one of our shows. Rose is the black lady that her husband was in the tail section of the plane. She was in the front. They're on both sides. They're separate sides of the island. She was absolutely convinced that he was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several instances in there that she shows that her character is a Christian.
Mm.
And I can appreciate that, if he had someone with Buddha in there, obviously somebody may say, well, I wonder what that's like. They can get on the internet. They can research Buddha and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, he's throwing something out there where, he's planting a seed, whether he knows it or whether it's God doing it through him, with him having no knowledge of it. People can ask questions there and they can find, maybe somebody that knows you or somebody that knows me or Brad.
Right.
And they can go and ask questions. And I can't bash that. I welcome the opportunity.
Yeah. And Travis, kind of along those lines where you mentioned Rose talking about faith, there's this dichotomy on Lost where Jack is a man of science and Locke is a man of faith.
Hmm.
And there's this perception I guess, for the creators or maybe society in general, where you have to be one or the other. You have to be a man of science and reason, or you have to be a man of faith. I take a sharp disagreement with that, because faith is the response to really good evidence.
Hmm.
You see, you don't have to be one or the other. Ideally, I think you should be both. Faith jumps the gap between probability and certainty, says John Wirk Montgomery. So, you don't have to isolate yourself as, oh, I'm just faith, I'm taking everything on faith. Or you don't have to isolate it and say, I'm only going to believe what science can empirically prove. You look at the evidence, and then you add to that the component of faith.
Well, and see, Locke wasn't just – and I'm talking within the realms of the show. I'm just saying within the show. I'm not saying in real life or anything like that. But he was presented – pretty good faith options there, pretty good evidence with him, his legs being healed. He met the smoke monster. Nobody really knows yet what happened, but he had a couple of encounters right there that he actually could build that faith on. Nobody else on the island even knows, but he does have that. And I wouldn't, watching the show at first, you think, oh, he's a wacko, but you know what? He was given evidence and he's acted on the evidence. So, I mean, he's not really a nut. He's actually one of the guys there that's pretty grounded.
Well, I love the show. I think that JJ has his beliefs, but I think he's written a show with facets in many different religions to pull them all together to watch the show.
Sure, that could be too. That's marketing.
Yeah, and you know what? Hey, I'm not trying to discount anybody's religious beliefs or kind of little Easter egg slants here and there. I'm not trying to dispute that, but I am saying when you're writing a hit show on ABC, you kind of have to kind of work towards having a lot of people watch it. And I think part of it was this religious ambiguity and also this religious kind of glimpses into different beliefs. Okay, so
better that than sex.
Well, but Evangeline Lilly on there. So anyway. What's interesting that the faith in science is, once somebody gets quote unquote healed, they directly go to the doctor for scientific proof. So it's interesting that faith and science do intersect, and you know, one proves the other, if you will. So,
and on a technical, from a, like a technical writing standpoint, I think one of the reasons Lost has been so successful is because the writers have an end game in mind.
Sure,
they know where it's going. Mm-hmm. The show has a half life.
Yeah,
you know, it's not going to go on forever. They're not going to keep lobbying for new seasons. They only wanted a certain amount of time to flesh out their story, and I think that just gives it a certain momentum. You know,
right.
It's just not coasting along. It's rushing towards something like a freight train.
Yeah.
And we're along for the ride. I think that's part of the brilliance of it.
Now, who's the Joe Satriani fan?
That would be both of us.
Yeah. He got me hooked on it.
Yeah. I got Travis hooked on a lot of bad habits, like Satch and firearms.
That's not a bad habit, man. That's my fix.
You know, and that was one of the one things that I really enjoyed about your show early on. And I have to tell you, I have a bias against Christian anything. When I start listening or watching it, I'm going, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. This is going to be bad. And I'm going to be upset. This is going to be bad. And then when I hear you guys talk about Lost and Joe Satriani and God, I'm like, okay. These guys are okay. All right. I will continue to listen then. You know, and that's just kind of a bias I have. You know, Thief in the Night was awful. I mean, if anybody got saved because of that, it was definitely not on purpose. It
purely
was
purely God.
You know, look, well, I love Larry Norman, and he was in that thing. But I'm telling you, I bet you Larry said, could we not watch that again? You know.
Well, let me tell you this. There was a professor that both of us had in school, and this guy I have the deepest respect for.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time that, you know, we were in a really large class, and it was something where they were talking about it was Old or New Testament survey, so there was just tons of people in this class. And this one guy started saying, or, you know, the professor's talking about, guy pipes up in class, and, you know, he just shoots his mouth off, and he says, well, you know, at least it's not that blasted Christian rock junk. And my professor just about came unglued, and he went over, and I mean, he was really visibly distraught. He goes over to a piano that's in the top front of the class, and he hits one note, and he says, now tell me, is this note Christian or non-Christian? And he's looking right at the kid, and then he looks around, and he says, anybody, tell me, is that note Christian or non-Christian? And he said, it's the same thing with any other thing that you have in life. It's how you use it.
Wow. Yeah.
It's what you put to it.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of words are you putting with that music? What is your intention? You know? And I can take that farther out and say, you know, same thing. People think guns are bad. People think all these things are bad. Are cars bad?
Hmm.
No, they're not. But you know what? You can run somebody over with one. You can run somebody over with malicious intent.
Right.
It really depends on how you use the things.
Now, that was a wonderful point, and not to break it up. I want to tell a Joe Satriani story and a Steve Vai story, and then we'll talk about today's music, okay? So, like I said, we'll kind of let that point just kind of settle in, because I think it was a wonderful
point. I'm sorry
point.
If I stepped on your toes.
No. We'll let it sit, because it's very important what you just said. Okay. All right. I saw Joe Satriani in Riverside, California. And I'm you know, I'm a pretty straight-laced boy. I've only inhaled once, but okay, so I can't run for president, you know. I did not inhale. I wanted to, but then I started. Anyway, so I was in Riverside, and it was a very small place, and so the concert, it was so funny. The people in the concert area became magicians, because the lights went down. I saw no less than 100 lighters light up at that moment. And the lights came up. I never saw lighters and joints being hidden so fast. They were like David Blaine. It was like, ta-da! And then the lights went off again, and then they, you know, lit up again, and then the joints started going down the row. Now, me, I'm a paranoid Christian, see, and I don't know how that happens, because I think you have to take drugs to be paranoid or whatever, but I was paranoid. I'm thinking, what if there's PCP in here? I don't know what's in here, you know, so I just said, no, thank you, and so they passed it around me and on down the row. So that was my Joe Sartori. It was the best concert I've ever seen in my life. It was close. He just shaved his head. It was like a brand new deal, and it was the CD when it was Joe Satriani with Flesh Luminous Giants and that kind of a thing. He just rocked the house. It was just incredible. And then I saw him later, G3. But anyway, I thought it was funny that the hiding of the joints. it was kind of like somebody was playing in the back. What?
Let me something ask you something, see if it's true about the concert experience, because I've never been to one. I've heard that the people who go to the concert will see the guitar tech walk out, tune the guitar, you know, and he plays his little riffs. Obviously, the guitar tech for Satch is going to be a phenomenal guitarist in mm-hmm. himself.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out and he plays the guitar and he gets it tuned up, everything, sets it carefully down for Satch. When Satch picks it up, it's a completely different instrument. It's that amount of talent that even though, yes, you have this fantastic technical guitarist out here,
right.
When Satch picks it up, it's just something completely different. Did you notice anything like that?
Yeah, Joe, you know, it's like a paintbrush in a three-year-old's hand and Da Vinci. You know, it's the same brush, but it's how you use it. And you know, Joe, Eddie Van Halen, you know, Steve Vai, all these greats. It's just, you know, you see them, Hendrix, you see them pick up this guitar and use it with this ease. But what you haven't seen is probably the hours and days of constant practice.
Sure.
And you see that hour or two, you know, of after years of practice, and he is incredible. He really is. And you know, Chickenfoot, you know, you've got, you know, one of the better singers from Van Halen and part of Van Halen and part of the Chili Peppers and all that. You know, sometimes I listen to it and I'm going, it's kind of a weird mishmash, but I like Sammy's voice enough that it's like, okay, it works. So one more quick story is my wife gets Guitar Gods mixed up. And so she said, I'm going to buy you concert tickets for something. And I go, okay, well, great. And so she taps me on the knee. She goes, I got tickets to go see your favorite guitar player. And I'm going, well, Joe's not around here. And she goes, we're going to go see Steve Vai. And I'm going, Do you know Steve Vai at all? She goes, well, yeah, I've heard a couple of his songs. I'm going, have you ever seen a concert of Steve Vai's? Well, no. Okay. Boy, it's going to be an experience. What? It's going to be an experience for you. Because he came from the Frank Zappa school, and that's a whole different place, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, he also played for Whitesnake for a while, didn't he?
He did. And he played for David Lee Roth when he went off on his own there for a while.
Yeah, I don't think you have to wait for the lights to go down there.
No. But, yeah, dude, don't get me started on music, boy. I know a few things. So, anyway, so we went to this show, and I said, now, honey, It's going to be like a church service on acid. It's going to be nothing like you've ever seen ever. And she goes, okay. And she got more nervous. And, you know, it was the most amazing show. Incredible. And the guitar playing was just wild. And I looked over and she had both fingers in her ears. And she goes, it's kind of loud. I said, I told you, you know. But I've corrupted my wife. I have. She came to me, this little kind of, you know, meek little church girl, and you know, I don't know. She knows who Steve Vai is, and I think God and I'll talk about it. You know, I think he'll be okay. So we'll see. But let's kind of talk about your view of rock music today. I was thinking about that. You know, we don't have any really big bands anymore. You know, I think the big bands of the past are gone. Obviously the 80s hair bands. What kind of music are you into today as far as rock?
I'm a 90s alternative guy.
Okay.
I like the Jim Blossoms. I like Live. Toad the Wet Sprocket, B&L. I like all those 90s bands. I'm not into music in a big way now like I was then. What about you, Trav?
Well, I'm kind of like the carbon copy of that. Brad's a little more, he's got a little wider knowledge base of this stuff than I do. And to tell you the truth, the stuff they're coming out with now, it's all going toward like the R&B type flavor. And I'm not a big fan of that.
Okay.
Really, the only thing I pay attention to now is some country. And I'm a huge Brad Paisley fan. And the other thing that I really like, I think my tastes are starting to settle down. I really like instrumental stuff. I love classy style bluegrass. I'm not talking about redneck stuff. I'm talking about like the Alison Krauss, the Nickel Creek, Chris Stile, things like that. I really, like you said, the big bands are pretty much dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, these newer ones just really don't do anything for me.
And maybe we're turning into our fathers.
Hi, this is James from Nobody's Listening, and you're listening to Roney's Own Radio. But are you listening hard enough? I don't think so, punk.
Well, that was part two of our interview with the host of the Thin Ice podcast. And next week, we're going to have the final part, part three, of our interview with the host of the Thin Ice podcast. So be sure to join us next time. See ya. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roney's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.roneyzone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roneyzone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money. And we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.roneyzone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Since March 2007, one online audio production group has pushed the boundaries.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents Maudlin.
It's sounding boring. Audio drama with lumpy bits.
You have been listening to Jake Sanson.
Broken Sea Audio Productions presents
My name is Feedback, and these are my stories.
Last time on Gaia's Voyages.
This is the Broken Sea Audio production of Escape from New York.
OTR Swagcast.
Doctor Who, starring Mark Kalita as the Doctor.
BrokenSea.com, new audio every Thursday.
Hi, this is Rick Moyer, the host of Take Him With You, the weekly podcast that's spiritual, not religious. If you're like me, I bet you could use some encouragement on a regular basis. So that's why I designed Take Him With You. Each week, I talk about TV shows, movies, gadgets, and my geeky life. I even talk about my faith. I play some cool music created in my studio, and I do contests and try to do something that encourages each and every person that listens every week. So won't you join me? For Take Him With You, the podcast that's spiritual, not religious. Find out more at TakeHimWithYou.com or search on iTunes for Rick Moyer or Take Him With You. Now you have my personal invite, so I hope you download and take it with you today.
Thank you for listening to Roney's Own Radio. please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Roni's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.roniezone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.